This morning, I'd like for us to think for a little while, what is Easter all about? Where did all these rabbits and eggs and all these hats and everything come from when we study about Easter? I think we've really forgotten the real meaning of Easter. The first thing we've forgotten is God's holy law. God's law, God is holy, and God's law is holy. And God said in his law, all souls are mine, the soul that sins it shall die. Why did the Lord come into the world? The first thing I'd like for us to think about. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. Because all have come sinned and come short of the laws of God. And let me read in Romans 3:19-20 what the Word of God says about the law and our condition before the laws of God. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And all that's not been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is still under that law. And they must come guilty to the Lord Jesus Christ to find redemption from the laws of God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We're so guilty, it's impossible to justify ourselves. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. God's holy law is a mirror for you and me to look in and see how we stand before a holy God and before his holy law. If you have never come guilty, a lost sinner, to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge your lost guilty condition, and the Holy Spirit brought you to Calvary and revealed the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, and you experience a new birth, then you are still guilty before God. And God's wrath is upon you according to his word. There at the cross, he gives you faith to believe that Christ died in your place to ransom you from that awful guilty lost condition. And if you've never come guilty before God and come to the what Christ died on Calvary cross has been revealed to you, then Easter will mean nothing to you, regardless of how many times you go to church. And I find so many people that just joined in religion, they don't seem to know anything about coming guilty to the cross of Christ. And without his blood, there's no way to find peace and pardon and forgiveness for that awful guilty condition before God. This morning, I'd like for each one listening to me, imagine that you're in death row in a penitentiary, already condemned, guilty, and you've made your last plea to the governor for pardon. The governor has turned you down. He said to justice of the law has to be satisfied. And you'll have to pay that price. And then that gun would say, I've got one only son up here. I'll send him down to that penitentiary. I can't pardon you because the justice of the law has got to be satisfied. I'll let your son come in that penitentiary and take your place on death row and die in your place to redeem you from that awful curse of the law. And that's practically what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me. And when somebody comes and redeems you from the curse and the penalty of the law, like the little story about the governor's son, the innocent will come and die for the guilty. That little story can't be compared to what happened on Calvary's cross when God gave his only son and set him down to die forsaken by God in your and my place. And when a sinner comes to experience that, and the Holy Spirit brings him down to Calvary and sees that how he's redeemed from the curse of God's holy law, and somebody else has suffered that penalty in his place. And it wasn't only the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, was, I think, the suffering he had in his soul for the sins of the world was the greatest suffering that he had, forsaken by God. Unless somewhere along life's journey the Holy Spirit brings you to Calvary and reveals this to you, you will die yonder forsaken by God and banished from his presence throughout all eternity. And I stood by one or two people in my life as they was dying and said they was forsaken by God. So let me beg each one of you that's listening this morning to examine your relationship to God this morning during this Easter season and make your peace call and election sure while you still have time this side of eternity. And be sure that you've been to Calvary and there redeemed from the curse of God's holy law. And if you miss that, you'll have to suffer the penalty of God's holy law throughout all eternity. And then he was resurrected, and this morning he's sitting down on the right hand of his Father, interceding for you and me. I think the greatest day in any person's life is when he comes to Calvary guilty and finds that the Lord Jesus Christ died in his place, forsaken by God, and redeemed you from the penalty of the law. It really is something that ought to make you and me humble during this Easter season, because I think it ought to be the humblest time in the year when we come and realize again what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us yonder on Calvary's cross, redeemed us from the curse of that law, and we can go free. And God give his Holy Spirit when we come to Calvary, and our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then we journey on down through life without the fear of the penalty of God's holy law. You and me by nature was born under the curse of Adam. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he lost his spiritual relationship with God and found out that he was under the wrath of God, spiritual blind, forsaken by God, and walking after the natural desires of his fleshly body, trying to satisfy his fleshly desires of his mind. And he was without God. And all of Adam's descendants was born with that fallen nature, under the curse of God's holy law. All souls are mine, and soul that sins, it shall die. And even in Moses' day, if you despised the laws of Moses and violated them, you would die without any mercy outside the gates of the city under two or three witnesses. And if you die without finding mercy at Calvary's cross, then you'll spend eternity forsaken by God without any mercy. It's awful, but that's what the Word of God teaches. And none of Adam's descendants can plead guilty, because we've all sinned according to the Word of God and come short of His glory. But we can be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brought us under conviction to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and revealed that Christ died for the lost, ungodly people. And that's the people that the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem, us from the curse of the law, which is God's universal law. It was in the Garden of Eden. It is in Moses' day, and it's in your and my day. God's holy law, the Bible says, is still good, and it'll stand forever. So you and me have to find redemption from the curse of the law yonder at Calvary. It'll be forever and eternally forsaken by God. Let me read you over in the 5th chapter of Romans what Christ really did for us. It says in the 5th chapter of Romans, the 6th verse, "For when we was yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Lost people like you and me, if we've ever come guilty to Calvary. And I might say the gate to that narrow way is just on the other side of Calvary. That's where you placed into that narrow way that leads back to God and your eternal home. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But listen at this wonderful verse, 5th chapter of Romans, 8th verse. "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners," while we was yet a guilty sinner, some 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Let me read that wonderful verse again. "But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, without God and without any hope, the Holy Spirit had come to us and revealed that Christ died for us." And that was the greatest night in all of my life, when the Holy Spirit come to me and revealed to me that I was guilty and lost under the wrath of God. He not only died in our place, forsaken by God, much more than being now justified by His blood. And without the shedding of blood on Calvary's cross and your faith in that blood, there's no hope of you being redeemed from the curse of the law. The soul that sinned, that shall die, not only the death of the body, but the death of the soul yonder in the judgment, where you'll be forsaken in the blackness of darkness throughout all eternity, much more than being justified by His blood that was shed in the place of your and my blood, shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's the only way that we can ever find redemption and be saved from the wrath of God when He comes back without any mercy to execute judgment on ungodly people that never come guilty to the cross of Calvary. So this morning, it's wonderful if you're a child of God to know that your sins are covered by that blood yonder on Calvary, and that you've been redeemed from the awful curse of God's law. For if when we were enemies, we was in rebellion with no fear of God in our lives before we the Holy Spirit come and quicken us and awaken us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. He lived a perfect example for you and me to live by as we journey from Calvary's cross in that narrow way back to God in our eternal home. And not only so, but we also joy in God. We can have peace with God and peace with our fellow men after we are redeemed from the curse of the law at Calvary. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or forgiveness from our sins yonder at Calvary's cross. And Christ not only died for our sins according to the Scripture, but He rose again according to the Scripture. And now He's sitting yonder around the throne of God making intercession for us in His Spirit. If you're a child of God, your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that gives us a right to come in Jesus' name and talk to the God our Father in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ can communicate to us through His Holy Spirit that He gave us when we were saved. And that's my prayer for each one listening, that you may experience that in this life before you fall under the hands of an angry God that's yonder in the judgment.